السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ولن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. الحمد لله. Tonight inshallah we'll continue in reflection and discussion and another name and attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today, inshallah, we'll go through two attributes. And scholars say that there are certain attributes that it should be talked about together. Al-qabid wal-basit, the one who holds back and the one who gives. So Allah holds back so He can give. Meaning, giving, holding back is a way to give. Al-khafid wal-rafi', the one who brings down and puts up. The way to put you up is to put you down first. It is one way of putting you up. And in this sense, there are names that together are understood. Al-mubdi al-mu'id, or al-mubdi'u والمعيد. Then two names of today, inshallah. And again, when we reflect on the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the names, we look at it in a special way. First in understanding in the language itself, then in a special way when it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in a way that we understand it when it comes to us, when it's an attribute that we carry with us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So, al-mubdi'u, the one who initiates. Bada'a is to start, to initiate. Okay. Now, al-mubdi'u is the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who initiates, but what He initiates out of nothing. And al-mubdi also would have the understanding of the initiation with creativity. Okay, meaning that Allah will initiate the creation in a very special way. That creativity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, that we can create things with it as well. But what we create, it is created from something. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates, Allah repeats it. What we make and create does not repeat itself. It does not have the quality of reproducing. هو الذي يبدئ الخلق ثم يعيده. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who يبدئ الخلق, start the creation and then repeats it. Okay. And in Surah Al-Buruj, at the end, وهو الذي يبدئ ويعيد وهو الغفور الودود. يبدئ ويعيد is the one who starts and then repeats. What is يعيد؟ المعيد. المبدئ المعيد. What is معيد is understood to bring something back, to repeat something. What also, what those who know Arabic, what is the word معيد? In college, when you have a معيد there, what is that?
It's like the college
professor. Professor. It has to do with knowledge.
Right.
It has to do with knowledge. So al-mu'id is the one that brings back and also the one who has the knowledge. What is mi'ad? An appointment. Okay? An appointment time, a place and a time, specific time and a specific place. That is mi'ad. So it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who starts, then brings back with knowledge in a special time, in a special place. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-mubdi'u, He initiates the creation and repeats it, and you think it is repeated as it was created. But it is, yes, as it was created, but with differences, genuine differences. So you find each individual has quality like other individuals, but they are unique. So every one of us has the hands, the feet, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, the head, and so forth, and the internal organs and so forth. But at the same time, each one of us is unique. So we have a thumbprint that is unique for each individual. We have an eye print. Okay? What is the part of the eye that has the retina? The retina is al-qazahiyya.
Cornea?
Yeah, the cornea of each person is different than the another. Is it the cornea? Part of the eye. That it could be a picture could be taken of it, and that would read just like a thumbprint. Okay. The smell. Okay. The each one. I mean, this is something that is so, you know, mind-boggling, okay? Each one has a different smell, a unique smell, that no one else will have it. You know, and you know this was dogs, right? A dog will recognize, you give him something that smells from a person without even ever seeing that person, and he will find the person. That particular, no other person, that particular person, the dog will find it. Find him. That is, this is al-mubdi'u, al-mubdi'u. Allah that initiates with a creation that is very unique. Okay, when we make something, we do not. Allah with His creation. Allah give us the ability to manipulate the creation that He created to get something maybe slightly different in a repetition. Like if we use animals for to get a certain breed or a certain kind of, you know, animals and certain kind of birds and a certain kind of even of plants and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that ability to work with the creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created to bring something, to work with something that may be unique for us or produce something that we need in a particular place, a particular environment, and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His blessings upon us, given us this ability to be able to do this. Okay. But when we create something, we always use something that is existing. And if we do not use that which has a life in it, we can just make something and does not reproduce. It is stops there. From the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah told him to say to the disbelievers of Mecca, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the one who initiated the creation and then repeats it. Okay. From those that you worship beside Allah, can they initiate the creation and then repeat it? No. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who does so. So He is the unique one. the one worthy to be worshipped, the one who initiates the creation and then repeats it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His creation, many things are very unique. That which Allah created that has colors, for example. Color that is specific, a pigmentation in whatever it is that produces this color, and it is beautiful and it's very specific. Okay? A creation of a human being that has a certain looks, but is a unique look without going into details, different than anyone else. You can hardly find two people look the same. In you cannot do this. I mean, a human being with their creativity cannot reach how many billions of people and do not have two people look alike, and two eyes and two and a nose and a mouth and a specific unique face. Allah designed this at the very beginning of the creation. Meaning, when Allah created the pen and commanded to write, and it wrote. And wrote everything that will ever be created and everything that will ever happen until the day of judgment. And it is all there. Okay. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, and we go through eventually through death or to death. Then this creation has an end but does not have an end. Has an end but does not have an end. In that which is connected to this life has an end. Because life itself here, the hayatul dunya, has an end. So what we do in this life that connects with this life, for the sake of this life, it will end when we die with us. But that which we do for the sake of Allah, for the life to come, then it will continue and come with us. So part of us, of us will die, will perish in this life. But then in the grave we will remain alive until the day, until al-mi'ad, until the time, the appointed time. And that appointed time will be resurrected again. Allah al-mu'id, the one who brings things back, the one who has the knowledge of it at an appointed time. Al-mu'id. Okay? So this, you know, we have a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that a man who died, and then he asked his children before he died to burn him and throw his ashes in a windy day in the ocean and so forth, hoping that he will not be resurrected. And after they did so, Allah told him, be, and he was. Okay? So Allah brought him back. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us about the bones of son of Adam. All of it will perish except a piece of the tailbone. That will never go away, will never perish. And from it, we will come back. Allah brings us back from this piece of a bone. So we will come back. And that which we worked for the hereafter, or worked with for the hereafter, we will be carrying it. And it will determine where we go afterwards. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the choices as a human being, okay, to work with that which has a beginning and has an end, and to work with that which has a beginning and has no end. And we as a human being, we will never have an end. But the part that has to do with this life will end, and a part will go on with a ruh, and we'll be resurrected, a different creation eventually. and it will match with that which has a beginning and has no end, which is hellfire or paradise. Hellfire has a beginning and does not have an end. Paradise has a beginning and it has no end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who has no beginning and no end. Allah has no beginning and no end. Okay? So, this life is the only one that has a beginning and has an end. This life, the only one that has a beginning and has an end. So, if we work in for things in this life, to accumulate things in this life, then all of that which we are accumulating will end. With the end of this life, or the end or our end. So whatever it is that we have, we're either going to leave it or it's going to leave us. There is no third choice or third possibility. So when we work in this life, according to the Quran and Sunnah, according to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that has a value that take us to the life that has no end. Meaning it does not have an end itself. This intentions that we have does not have an end itself. It goes on with us. The whatever it is that we do, it has a mechanics about it and it has an intention about it. The mechanics is moving, walking, taking the means to accomplish a task. Okay? All this is done, you know, and it will all end, and everything that you use, you are yourself, everything will go away. But why you did this is going to stay. Why you did this is going to stay. Whether it is why you're doing it in a bad way or in a good way, the intention itself will stay. Okay? So we carry with us the why we do what we do. The answer of why we do what we do, we're going to carry with us. Okay? And from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and us, Allah will give us exactly what we, according to our intention. Okay? So you find those who work hard for a specific intention that they will not take with them in the hereafter, Allah will give it to them. Okay? We'll give it to them, whatever it is they're working for. But those who are working for the hereafter, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will stay with them. And sometimes it is connected with this life. Okay? It's disconnected. And the best work is the intention that it is connected with this life. Okay? So you do the work, and لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا. We do not want from you a reward nor a word of appreciation. This is not what we need. This is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the best deed. And usually it is something that is unknown. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that, and some scholars said even that the angels do not know it. The angels who write the deeds do not know it. Because the angels, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Nothing that the person utters, speaks, except رَقِيبٌ and عَتِيدٌ will write it. But if that which is not said or is not done, how could رَقِيبٌ and عَتِيدٌ write it? It is not written, but only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. And that is a special relationship that we have in this life with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That our intention, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. And that is a beautiful kind of life. That when you know that what you have inside of you, Allah is aware of it, and He's the only one who's aware of it, and you go on in your life, and everything that happens to you in your life, you are accepting it because you know that Allah written this for you and have a qadr for this for you, and you're accepting it. You say Alhamdulillah. And you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for that which you had in your heart and the intention that you're doing. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about the hereafter and the resurrection, and He's the one who started us and then will bring us back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us that our life should be with this concept. This concept that we're coming back. Okay? And the concept of coming back is a comfortable concept of this life. Okay? Those who do not have this concept of al-mubdi'u al-mu'id, the one who starts and brings back, they're living a miserable life because they count the moment that they live on this earth as a moment that will go away and will never come back. And they are wasting these moments. They call it precious moments of life, right? Any kind of sickness, any kind of harm and so forth, to them it's a waste of the time that they are spending on this earth, live and kicking, as they say. But for a believer, the moment that is not done in the way of Allah, that is a wasteful moment. Okay? And the moment that is used in the way of Allah, that is a precious moment. Even though the result of it does not seem to be logical to others, but it is acceptable by Allah, then that is success. That is true success. And we only can have that concept when we know that we're coming back. Because we know that there is accountability, and we actually, this will live with us. We're going to continue living, and that deed will continue living with us. It's a beautiful life. Okay? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the concept of it. Okay? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his life, he worked for that. He worked to give everyone that he got in contact with and told them to go give others about the unseen, about the hereafter, about coming back. Okay? And this is something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not choose to do. Allah have chosen him so he can deliver this message. Okay? So the task of doing that is a taxing taxing on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it is an honor to do so. It's an honor to do so. Okay? And it's a pleasure to do so. When we propagate this idea that there is a resurrection, there is a beginning, but there is no end, we will come back. Okay? In many ways, through the Quran and Sunnah, it is not a task that is easy. Okay? When you deliver al-haq, it is not easy. Okay? Because the formula is, when you deliver al-haq, you have difficulties. That is the formula. Always the formula is like that. But also when you deliver al-haq, you will have sweetness in it. Okay? You will have pleasure in it. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us. Are you doing this for the sake of Allah? Or are you doing this, half-hearted? Okay? In other words, Allah will test us who really have the stomach for it. Who has the guts for it. Okay? And you find those who had the most stomach for it, if you will, are the prophets and messengers of Allah. They were pushed to the edge and they continued, until you think they cannot take any more, and they continued. Until those around them let them down And then they continued. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there will be those who carry al-haq or ala al-haq until the day of judgment. لا يضرهم من خزلهم. Those who led them down will not harm them any. Those who will be different than them will not harm them any. They will still hold on to la ilaha illallah. There will always that group be that group until the day of judgment. Okay. So only those who knows and believe in the unseen and al-ghayb will be able to handle this. Okay? Because there is always a reward that is intangible in this life. Allah brought you and then will take you and then will bring you back. And that is what you're working for. So long that you have this concept of ghaib as you do in your work, you're not expecting reward right now. If part of it comes now, alhamdulillah, if it does not, you just continue because this is not what you're working for. You're working for in the way of Allah for the hereafter. So that is the only way of doing the work of Allah. The only way of doing the work of Allah. Okay? And al-haq is only one. Al-haq is only one. So when you're working in the way of Allah, that is the only right path, the only right concept, the only right way. Okay? And something I want to talk about here that I talked about in Fajr once, that the concept of ego, okay, you find those who carry bid'ah, they talk about egos a lot. Okay? Why do they do that? Because they want their bid'ah to be accepted. Okay? So they want to talk about an ego to those who have al-haq, saying that, trying to make them believe, take them through a guilty trip, telling them that, you know, you think you're the only one who's holding to the truth. Your ego is making you, you know, say that I'm right and everybody else is wrong. How could you do that? It is something that has to do with you as a person, that you want to be the winner, the one on the right, and everybody is wrong. They work on that guilt kind of a feeling with the Muslimin, with those on the right path. Don't fall into this. Because what they're saying is, by saying that, they're saying there is no measure. You understand? They do not talk about a measure. You're just saying you're right because you want to be right. Your ego is want you to do that. No. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he was right and everybody else was wrong. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَأَنْتُمْ عَبُدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ. The kuffar, I'm not believing what you believe in, and you're not believing what I believe in. It's done. And also the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ كُلَّ بِدَعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدَعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. Every bid'ah, innovation in our deen, is a dalala. وَكُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. And every dalala is in hellfire. That's it. So the if it is not a sunnah, it is a bid'ah. Okay? So do not hesitate. You be wise and give da'wah and be kind and show the way. Okay? Not be confrontational, and maybe you could be confrontational. It depends on the time, the place, and the people, and so forth. But you do not waver at all. That once you know that what you have is right, and you know from Quran and Sunnah, you do not waver. It is absolutely right. It's haqq. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. What is after haqq except dalal? What is after absolute truth except misguidance? There is no third option, and those two never mix. Those two never mix. They do mix, but you could not say now, if al-haqq has a little bit of dalal in it, that it is al-haqq. No, it is no longer al-haqq. once it has any kind of a shape of dalala in it. Okay? So here is Allah tell us that al-haq and al-dalala. Okay? وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالًا. Every bid'ah is a dalala. So every bid'ah is away from al-haq. So it has nothing to do with ego. Has nothing to do with being personal. Has to do with the measure that you carry. The Quran and the Sunnah, the barometer that you carry, you measure everything with. And say, this is a bid'ah, this is not. And this is a huge issue. But the point being here is that al-ghayb is haqq and al-ghayb is one. And coming back is al-haqq and coming back is one. One here meaning it is in one way and only one way. So you do not get some group of people say, you know, yes, yes. Do you believe in resurrection? Yes. We do too. Right? And then what? Then become the same? No. What is the resurrection that you believe in? They tell you you're going to be in the earth and then the cloud will come up and suck us up there and then, you know, everybody will die and then we'll come back down. And, you know, certain, you know, that is the end of resurrection and so forth. That is not al-haq. Okay? So we say, no. It's a word that you say, but you're not with al-haq. Al-haq is absolute and it's only one. Okay? What are the angels? There's only one concept of the angels. Okay? The day of judgment is only one concept of what day of judgment is like. The Jannah is only one Jannah. Jahannam is only one Jahannam. And so forth. Okay? So here is a beautiful way of living. Knowing about the unseen that we're going to join in the hereafter as soon as the angel of death come to us. Okay? So knowing that your creation in the womb of your mother was by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and everything is measured for you in the womb of your mother, who you're going to get married to, how many children you're going to have, how much wealth and food and water you're going to get in your life is already written. Okay? And now you need to work in your life so you could enter Jannah. What a beautiful life. That you're going in it and you know everything is measured for you. So you don't have to worry about it. But you need to worry a lot about how you're doing things, your intention of doing things, so you could end up in Jannah by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a successful life, a beautiful life, and a comfortable life. To know where you're coming from, to know where you're going, and to know what you need to do in between. And all of it is absolutely haqq. Absolutely. There is no doubt in it. Okay, there is no shadow of a doubt in it. Again, what we talk about a lot, that al-haqq has beauty in it that is so simple, but is so deep at the same time. This is the essence of al-haqq in any matter. In any matter. In a physical matter, and in a concept that you understand, in any matter. The absolute haqq is very simple to understand and very straightforward. But the more you dwell in it, the more you go deep in it, the bigger it gets, the richer it gets, the more treasure it will bring you. Okay. After all, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you believe in la ilaha illallah. Here is one, la ilaha, three letters, la ilaha illallah, three letters. That's it. But your whole life is about it. Your death is about it. Your resurrection is about it. Everything in this earth is about it. Okay? So that word can take you as deep as you want to go. And it's absolute haqq. The falsehood is the opposite. The falsehood is, it is very attractive, very dazzling, and very in abundance, right? But then when you start asking questions, dwelling in it, it comes to nothing. You try to dig in it, you find nothing in it. It is all turned to nothing. Okay? That's why when we talk about Asma'ullah al-Husna wa Sifatihi al-Ula, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is dwelling in this haqq. This is the beauty of this. We're dwelling in this haqq that we it is very, you know, simple, but then you when you start with a name, right, every day, we you know, every week, we start with a name, and then you start dwelling a little bit, and the more we talk about it, the bigger it gets, the richer it gets, and so forth, and you see how deep this could go, keep going and going and going. Okay? This is the pleasure of knowing the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything that we do should be connected to Al-Haq. Everything that we do, every word that we say should be connected with Al-Haq. Every thought that we have should be connected with Al-Haq. Okay? And it is a knowledge that we gain, right? A knowledge that we gain about the names and attributes, and about the fiqh, and about tawheed, about everything about our deen, right? And that the more we learn, the more we apply, the more we go higher in understanding and higher in our level of close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does that mean that we don't come back down? Yes, we do. We go up and down all the time. All the time. We're not from those who say absolutely you go high up and you live here and you do not move from here until you get there. And when you get there, you wait until somebody to take you there, like all these tabaqat and all of this stuff. No, this is not the concept of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? It is, we take everything, you know, and be as much as you can in whatever it is that you have all the time, this struggle. And you'll be, you know, sometimes you'll not be patient, not that much patience that you carry, but then you'll have tawakkul ala Allah so much. Okay? Sometimes you'll be so much patient, but the tawakkul Allah has some kind of weakness in it. Sometimes you have istighfar, and sometimes you don't. Sometimes, you know, and you go up and down on all of this together. Not one exclusive from the other. And this is a very important concept. Okay? Not one exclusive from the other. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying at the end of his life, that the last, you know, one of the last surahs that was revealed? إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. When the nasr of Allah, victory of Allah, and the opening comes, the opening of Mecca, رأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا. You see people coming in Islam in drove and drove. فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر. Imagine that. You make tasbih of the names of Allah or make tasbih to Allah, praise Allah, and ask Allah to forgive. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, after all his life, after all what he did, and now he's getting ready, you know, that's it, his life is close to an end, Allah said, make istighfar. Okay? What does that tell us? That tells us that all this is a total package we take, and we work all of it together. With all of it, all of this package, we take it all and work with it all together. Meaning, work was all the trying to get close to Allah was many, many different ways that Allah prescribed for us, and the concept that Allah prescribed for us, and Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed us. But we do not make some level exclusive from the other. This is very important, because this is some kind of, because, you know, we're talking about Asma Allah al-Husna and Sifatihi al-Ula. So this is a Sufi kind of a concept, okay? That you have to move from this, and then you cannot go to this unless you reach, you move from that. Okay? Like they tell you, the tawakkul at-tawbah, istighfar wa tawbah is the first one, right? Okay? And you cannot move to patient or tawakkul ala Allah except what? When you move from this. Rasulullah was told to do this at the end of his life. You're telling me that you could not move from here until you go somewhere else? Okay? Until you finish with this? And at the same time they tell you, but you cannot do this here is a tawbah is only from Allah and you could never achieve it. Allah is the one who achieves it for you. Do you know what that means? That means you'll be on the bottom of the scale and you just sit there and you have no hand in moving up and you cannot move up unless Allah allows you to move up and you just wait there and you do not have a hand in the matter, period. So he's saying you have to work on that, but at the same time say you cannot work on that. You have to move from there, but you cannot move from there. Okay, it is all things that are said in a way that is very attractive, but you come to the bottom line of it. It is different than the sunnah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, and this concept, warp concept, is dalala. Because it's not al-haq. And if it's not al-haq, it's dalala. We're talking about the very basic issues and concept that they have. Very basic. Meaning the one that all of them are united in it. This is very basic concept. And it is basically away from the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, away from the concept of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, going away a little bit from what we're talking about, but again, it is all the understanding of the names of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who initiated the creation, and initiated everything in a beautiful way, and everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring back, and repeats it as well in this life. So brings it in this life, but also will be perished and bring certain creation, those who have a choice, okay, in a different place, a different creation, an appointed time. And once we have that concept with us going on in our life becomes a more easy and comfortable life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never caught inside a situation, being in it, alaykum as-salam, being involved and consumed in it. He was always outside of it, but at the same time working with it. Meaning, he's outside of it, looking at it in a way of, you know, when you get involved in something and you get involved in it emotionally and you get involved in it with all your senses and so forth, sometimes it makes you foggy. You cannot make the right decision. You get excited, you get upset. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was never like this. He was inside the situation, but at the same time, he's outside of it looking at it. So he was very calm and very comfortable in his decisions. And he see clarity, like when you see something from far away, you could see it very clearly. This is how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at things. But at the same time, he was involved in it. Okay? This is, you know, when you are in the right state of mind, okay, this is a gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. That you will be involved in many things and involved in the things that you're doing, but at the same time, you're looking at it from the outside, far away, clearly, with the measure of al-haq. With a measure of al-haq. That is a blessing from Allah. Because that always make you maneuver within the right path. Does not get you excited to the point that you make a decision and or react in a way that is displeasing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know I've talked a lot this time, and hopefully you have more to talk about, inshallah. So you have the microphone, inshallah. No, it's not very difficult. I hope it did not sound difficult.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin wa salatu wa salam ala khayr al-anbiya wa al-mursaleen Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Just a couple thoughts, inshallah. The al-mubdi al-mu'id, I was thinking when you are talking about it, we will see, inshallah, the magnificence of this attribute in the hereafter. I mean, we have it now in this life, and Allah create things and then repeat it, you know, but it sometimes takes time. There is a component of time in it.
Yeah.
But in the hereafter,
yes.
Allah mentioned in the Quran, like, yes, even for food, for example, كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرة رزقا قالوا هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل. Every time they in the heaven we get something, we get it again immediately. So there is even the fruits. I heard the hadith. You know, you pick up the fruit come back again immediately. Yeah. So you are it said هذا الذي وأتوا به متشابها, and it all looks alike. Yeah. So Allah repeat it immediately. The skin in hellfire, Allah repeated, كلما نضجت جلودهم أبدلناهم جلودا غيرها ليذوقوا العذاب. Every time their skin ripe, immediately Allah will repeat the skin again, so they will taste the punishment. Mm-hmm. So this the magnificent of this attribute, Allah, how we create something and repeat it immediately without component of time, it will be in the hereafter. And Allah أعلم, even the feeling, even you feed yourself, you are now satisfied. If you want to eat again, it's immediately there. Yeah. So you will never, you know, said I cannot eat anymore or whatever you do. So this is the first thought. The second thought, inshallah, the idea of that what you said, everything gonna vanish from this life for the dunya except the deeds, the good deeds. If you think about it a little bit, everything, Allahu A'lam, that's my thought, but everything connect to Allah, any deed, there is a deed connect to Allah and a deed general. Mm-hmm. If this deed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will not go away. Yeah. There is no way it's going to go away. I mean, an example, like if you said subhanallah. Yeah. Subhanallah, they said this is the trees of heaven. So every time you said subhanallah, there will be a tree planted for you in heaven. So it's not going to go away. So it started and not going to go away. The bad deeds in the same time, Allah, if he written it and you want to punish you in it, it will stay. But if Allah wish, he will wave it. He will just cover it, you know, wave it off, it's go away. But anything, subhanallah, يعني, because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is no beginning and no end. You connect something to him, you deed for him, is that's it. So this is for Allah and it will stay forever. I'm just thinking about that. I mean, amazing when you know, but this concept a little bit, you know, Allahu alam.
MashaAllah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The concept of there's only one haq, and you said the ego, and that is, well taken. I've seen, especially these days, if you talk with people, you know, they say this all, every religion says the same thing, that they prohibit the bad and say the true good thing, don't hurt anybody, give to poor. But when nobody wants to go into details, you know, as you said, I mean, once you go into detail, what is meant by resurrection, what is their thought about it, because they think everybody is forgiven already. In fact, they forgive people who haven't unjust, this is done to someone else, but other people are forgiving it. I've seen, like, you know, students massacres, you see on the campuses, and the other students are saying that we have forgiven him. So that is an entirely different concept when you go into the details. So probably if you come through these situations, and as a scholar, you probably have come through that. How did you dwell into those details, and did you have any discussion like that in any meetings? Like,
yes, very few will go there. Very few will go there. Yeah, it is only those who have, you know, correct aqidah will be able to dwell in this and talk about it. Okay, but the when the aqidah is all corrupt, you just need to work on that first before you start discussing these things. Okay, you know, when they separate between, you know, Allah, the one who allows good things to happen, between Allah that allows good things to happen and bad things that are happening, when they disconnect this with that, how can you talk to them? You understand? Meaning they do not, they say Allah is good, God is good, so God does not allow bad things to happen. You understand? How can you get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wal adhu billah away from control of something? You understand? They say shaitan, Satan, is the one who does bad things. But eventually Allah will win over shaitan wal adhu billah. You know? When you start talking, you know, to them about this concept, you have to get to the concept from the very beginning rather than going to steps into this. You know, sometimes it's, you know, very few will resonate with this and ask a little bit more, you know. But we always try.
Yeah. See the idea.
Microphone. No, we have to.
The idea you just talked about, that they do good deeds, like they feed the poor, if not for the sake of Allah, like we just mentioned before, if it's not for the sake of Allah, Allah will not accept it. It will not last. It will. Allah said in the Quran, وَأَتَيْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلًا فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. We came to what they have done from deeds, and we made it like it's a. Haba'an manthura is nothing, you know, no weight, and it's going in the wind. And Allah in Surah Al-Kahf, He said also that in the end of Surah Al-Kahf, He said, Do you want to tell us who is really the losers? Those who done things thinking that this is the best deeds, and Allah did not count it for him completely. So anything is not, anything not connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or for the pleasure of Allah, for the sake of Allah, it's not gonna last. It will be here and go with this dunya. So whatever you do in this life, not for Allah, it will stay here. The dunya go with it. You die, you go with it. Exactly. And it's not connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so it's gonna go away. That's what it's enough, yeah, right. Right.
That never reaches to the poor people.
Right.
And you feel very sorry about that. Then they will say, at least you have the intention, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for the intention that you have, even though they did not.
Right. I mean, that's what we are talking about, that any deed for Allah will stay with Allah, and Allah will fix it and write it for you, grow it. Exactly. It will be in heaven, which is start and never end, and so on and so forth. Wallahu a'lam.
What did he say?
I said the guy who did not say inshallah, he went to buy the from the market.
Microphone.
I like it. I told it to my wife.
A friend of mine, he was living in Saudi Arabia. Mm. So he went back to Pakistan, and there was one scholar, kind of Sufi. So
there is no kind of Sufi. Al-Haqq is one. And so either this or that.
So
I'm sorry, guys.
So he said that, so he said, okay, I live in Saudi Arabia, Jeddah. And he said, you go to Mecca quite often? He said, yeah, about every month, sometimes twice a month, we go to Mecca. We pray there. So he said, okay, when will you come back next time? He said that in so many months, like every 6 months, 3 months, I come back. He was in airlines. So he said, next time you come, you bring me such things. He said, okay. Then discussions started. He said that every Thursday evening I have the duty in Haram.
I have what?
I have duty in Haram. My assignment is, the Sufi scholar said, every Thursday evening I am assigned in Haram. So in the evening time I am there. I have to do some stuff. So he said, next Thursday you go and bring what you need. Why are you waiting so many months for me to come back?
Why you waiting? Your duty in the Haram.
SubhanAllah. There is always off the record a lot of comments. Yes.
Yeah, off record if you close the
head. Yeah. What you say, but these days we're more seeing and hearing than saying.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Microphone.
No, not. It was also recorded. The 9/11 happened.
Yeah.
And New York Fire Department and Police Department and whoever responded. One Islamic scholar, I don't know who is that, from Middle East or from some continent, he said that those people responded there and gave their life trying to save the people, non-Muslim. They are, I don't know if he said they are Shaheed or he said that they are, the Jews are very, just like Muslim too.
إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. Allah will not forgive those who take partners with Him, and He will forgive anything below that whomever He wishes. So a mushrik does not get a part in this period, in the forgiveness in the hereafter. Does not matter what he does. Even the one who was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fighting and died, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says he's in hellfire. And he qatala nafs, he killed himself because he could not stand the wound that he had with too much pain, and he killed himself. Okay. The point being is the shirk, there is no forgiveness for it in the hereafter. And also, those who are muwahidun, they need to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So tawheed without ittiba' is unacceptable. And ittiba' without tawheed is unacceptable. Okay? You find those who follow, they say, the best of manners. The best of manners, without saying "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah," then it means nothing. And we know the famous story when the daughter of Hatim al-Ta'i was captured in one of the battles, and she said to Rasulullah sallam, "Do you know who I am?" Muhammad sallam said, "Who are you?" She said, "I am so and so, the daughter of Hatim al-Ta'i," and she started talking, saying poems about her father and how a great man he was. He was dead at the time. How he took care of the orphans, how he took care of the needy. All beautiful attributes. Then Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Your father definitely had the best of manners, and I was sent for mankind to perfect the best of manners." So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam testified that her father is carrying Islam. But then Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If your father was a Muslim, would have asked Allah to forgive his soul." So that's not helping him any. Okay? At the same time, when those who came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the Jews, who asked about many questions, the answer came in Surah Al-Kahf, right? Who were those, the young men who were in the cave? Tell us, do you know anything about them? This man who walked on earth right and left and all of the, about Dhul Qarnayn, meaning that they said they were testing Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, "We are the Jewish people, we have the story of the old, we have the story from Allah, If you can answer these questions, we know that you are a messenger of Allah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam eventually, you know, passed the test to them, right? Here is the surah came with all the details, more than the details that they have, right? So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them the answer, they said what? Nashhadu annaka rasul. We bear witness that you're a messenger. No one knows who these things. You must be a messenger. And they started leaving. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wait a minute. You know, ما يمنعكم من اتباعي? What prevents you from following me? Of course, لَنَا يَهُود, our Jewish ways and this, this and that. So you have now people doing the other way. Okay? Believing that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, but refusing to follow. You do not call them Muslim. They said, نَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ رَسُولُ. They're not Muslims. Okay? So, الْإِتِّبَاعِ, to follow without the shahada, the belief, is eventual in hellfire. And to testify without the follow, you cannot be a Muslim this way either. Okay? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who hears about me, man sami'a bi, min hadhihi al-ummah, from this nation, yahudiyun aw nasraniyun, a Jewish or Christians. Okay? And did not follow what I brought, he will enter hellfire. He will go to hellfire. Okay? So
no
that...
matter what the deed is.
Huh?
No matter what the deed is.
No matter what the deed is.
The man who came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, should I become Muslim or fight? There was a war.
Yeah.
There was a battle. He wanted to fight. Before he said, no, become a Muslim first and go and fight. But he called yes. He would not be accepted that
way. Yes.
He wanted to become Muslim first and go.
Yes.
And he helped. Yeah, he was, want to see a man of heaven, did not
with so little out. Deeds, yes.
Yeah, with so little deeds.
And so much reward, yes.
Aswad Allah, have you not on that? His name, Aswad Allah.
This one?
Yeah, Aswad, like black.
Yeah,
he was very dark, and he was a shepherd. This is not his real name, but that is what the name is.
Oh.
They called him that, Allah Ad. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك جزاكم الله خير